What is up, Internet? Welcome to another episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, where we bring real talk to matters of disability with no excuses. I'm Chad, and you know that if you've been listening for a while. I'm joined by Andy, and Brett has disappeared. We were ready to hit the airwaves, and Brett's gone. So we're throwing him under the bus because we don't know where he is. We know he's coming back, but we can't call ourselves a tripod right now because we lost a leg, which is comical for me to say.
Yeah, man, I think we heard the very distinct Apple telephone ring. So I would be so bold as to say, good night, Alex, get off the phone. But who knows?
And if he's not talking to his girlfriend, we'll cut him some slack. But if he is, you know, maybe we'll still cut him some slack. Maybe not. Shout out to him, though, for still having the original iPhone ringtone. Like you haven't changed your ringtone. And you're an iPhone guy. You've changed your ringtone, I hope.
No, I was just going to say, do you still change your ringtone? Because I haven't.
You got the same Apple default little ringtone?
To be fair, my phone is usually on silent anyway. I don't I'll flip it over if I'm expecting a call or it's pretty much the only time. Like if I know somebody's gonna call, I will flip it over to what's the opposite of silent?
Yeah, unsilent mode. Yeah, I know. I was just going to say the same thing. I don't know what to call it.
Normal mode.
Normal mode. Well, clearly define normal on this podcast because clearly we don't know much about normal. You know, I was thinking about you saying that, Andy, and I think you're right. Like, I have changed my ringtone copious amounts of times. Currently, it is the Super Mario Brothers theme song. I more often than not also have my phone on silent or vibrate. I have also created custom vibrations so that I know, when a call is coming in, and because sometimes you don't feel the vibrations, good vibrations, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch after all. But so more often than not, my phone's on silent as well. Same thing. If I know I'm expecting a call, I'll have my ringer on. The most recent time I can remember having to keep my ringer on like constantly was probably like 8 or 9 years ago when I was starting my teaching journey, and I was supply teaching. And so you had to wait for the phone call to ring, and the phone call could ring anytime between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. at the time, like up to the evening before you got called in, and then starting at 6 a.m. in the morning to go in for that morning. So I used to live with my ringer on, but since I've hit a little bit more permanency, we should say, in my teaching career, and haven't had to be getting those supply calls, it's not as much of urgency to have my ringer on. That's the word. Have your ringer on as opposed to unsilent mode. I don't know.
I don't know what it is. Normal mode.
Non-silent mode. So yeah, I mean, full disclosure, Internet, because you know how much we love to say that on this podcast. We were literally just about to hit the air. And then Bretsky gets the phone call. So, it is what it is. You're stuck with Andy and I for a few minutes until Brett gets off the freaking phone.
Well, we are available on Apple iTunes. So Apple, if you want to sponsor us, we have the ringtone ready to go.
right.
Yeah. This is how I'm a fairly new Apple guy.
Uh-huh.
But, one thing I learned taking the course that Brett is now taking, Apple is leaps and bounds ahead of Android in terms of accessibility. And I think it's just because everything just pairs so well together, right? But I didn't even know you could customize ring vibrations. Obviously, I know you can customize ringtones because, let's be honest, we got cell phones when we were teenagers, and who wasn't comparing ringtones at that time, trying to have the best one, the newest one, all that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't be surprised if the customizable vibrations has something to do with people who need their phones for accessibility reasons, and That's the wrong way to say that. Need their phones to be as accessible as possible, I guess.
Yeah, sure. I was going to say, I was picking up what you were putting down to begin. And you know what? I never thought about that. It's very simple. I've done that for quite a while. You can literally tap in your vibration pattern, and you can obviously hold your thumb on it for longer vibrations and tap in for shorter. And so, yeah, very, very simple to do. And I never thought about it from an accessibility standpoint, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. One of the things I learned is, a lot of things we take for granted now is a kind of second nature with your phone. And I can't think of an example because we, to be honest, didn't prep this show at all. So, but like voice to text, like say,
absolutely.
Like if I'm lazy and I don't want to, if I don't want to use my fingers and I just want to shoot a voice text out, that was designed for people with limited
and dexterity. Absolutely. I use that on the regular. Got myself a pair of AirPods recently within the last year or so, and using that from an accessibility standpoint has been a game changer, because honestly, as a wheelchair user, if I'm going to send a text message, I got to stop moving, right? And so I got to, you know, stop my chair, grab my phone. Like, I can't text while walking. And of course, there's a million jokes about people that shouldn't be texting while walking. Anyways, you're texting with your head down, and some maniac with a wheelchair almost runs you over. I've been on the giving end of those quite a few times, people that won't look up when they're walking. But I will say,
I gotta stop you. Like, if the worst thing that happens is you get your toes run over by a wheelchair user, you come off, you're doing okay, I think.
Absolutely, as opposed to getting hit by a truck.
Yeah.
I will say that it's been a game changer as an AirPod user to be wheeling somewhere and say, "Hey Siri, text Andy," right? And then you get the little prompt, and then I can, you know, you speak your text with your punctuation, you know, so it's nice and legible for the people to read. Although I have been on the receiving end of many voice text fails when I get replies back from people that said, like, "Hey, what did you mean when you said this?" And I was like, "Oh, actually I was voice texting while wheeling to the gym." So, you know, I didn't actually get a chance to read the text back. But from an accessibility standpoint, absolutely. Another one that I can give Apple a shout out for, another piece of hardware that I've Apple tech anyways, that I've gotten the last year is an Apple Watch, and there's massive accessibility functionality there. It's the only wearable smart device to be able to count to, it actually has a wheelchair mode within the settings. So once you pair your watch to your phone, you go into the settings app of your watch and literally just turn on wheelchair mode. And as opposed to counting steps, it will count pushes for you. Right. And so I could clearly track the number of times I have pushed my chair in a day, which I think is really rad.
That might be a reason for me to get an Apple Watch right there. I don't, as I say that, my wheelchair use has went way down since I'm not training with it anymore. But yeah, I think, like I said, Apple's at the forefront of accessible technology, which I think is really cool. If you need to, you can have a whole smart house designed to pair with your iPhone. And I'm sure Androids do it too, probably.
I was going to say, we're going to hear from the Android community when they listen to this episode, and we're going to get a bunch of nasty feedback and say, that technology has been existing in Android land for many, many years, you know, things that we know nothing about because...
but does it work well?
I don't know. I will say that I have been firmly plugged into the Apple universe since the iPhone 4. And so, you know, that's quite a bit. The first smartphone I ever bought was an iPhone, and I've stuck with it. Really, the only piece of Apple tech that I don't have is like the iMac, you know, the MacBook. But I've got all the other Apple toys, and I love them. And again, going back to the Apple Watch, which is not something I ever thought I wanted. I was gifted one very generously, And I absolutely love it, especially in, you know, we've documented before on the podcast. I'm, you know, over 6 months into this this fitness journey, and it's been a game changer, tracking all your workouts and getting accurate, truly accurate measurements about calories burned. And I know that there is, you know, there's a lot of substance to the truly accurate calorie burning, a little bit of an inside joke there between us boys, but that's been important to me, to be able to document things accurately in terms of how many calories I'm burning, so that I can, you know, input that information accurately into my calorie app to watch what I was eating. And you know, I've really loosened that. I went aggressively onto this diet bit for many weeks, and again, still don't know how much I've lost, but if I had to guess, I'd say at least 20 pounds, just because I'm feeling pretty great. And without that accountability of, you know, the Apple Watch to help me truly track my workouts and my heart rate and, you know, calories burned, then, you know, it's made things a lot easier, especially from a practicality point of view, with being a wheelchair user and being able to use the things like voice text.
Yeah, man, I think, obviously there's other apps, I think, but as I've said already, Apple just pairs so well with its other products, and to already have features like wheelchair user even built in is pretty huge. So with that said, I don't even remember. Oh yeah, I do remember how we started talking about apples, but
how do you like them apples?
Yeah, shout out to
Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. That's Goodwill Hunting, man. That's what I was doing. Goodwill
Hunting. I knew it. Buddy, drivers in that too. I knew it.
That's it.
But, dude, you're honestly the weirdest human being I've ever met in my life.
Holy shit, look who it is. He's alive.
I don't know who you're talking to, because there's two of us here. Bretzky, one of the things I wanted to talk about today, you're very active on the social media, and I don't know if it was today or yesterday, but you posted a picture of yourself wearing a headband, and
I'm currently wearing it now.
You're wearing your headband right now?
Right this second.
Okay, so I know, maybe our listeners don't, because we haven't, and nor do I want to incorporate the video component of these into these podcasts. But I know for a fact you're on bed rest, and maybe we'll touch about that in a few minutes. So you're laying in your bed with a headband on?
Yeah, absolutely. I have no shame.
All right.
So I just want to start off on a nice little light topic here. Well, I guess it's our second topic already, because we had to kill time. Well, let's say goodnight to Alex. But
actually, my uncle called. I will be calling Alex after I'm done with you two meatheads.
Oh, all right. Then we were wrong. We were taking the over-under bets on who was on the other end of the phone. We've already thrown you under the bus for the first 13 minutes of this episode. But
and that's fine. But Alex and I have been together long enough that the protocol is, if I'm recording with you two meatheads, second time I've said that in under 2 minutes, that I will let her know that I'm recording at approximately 9 o'clock. I will be done approximately 10 o'clock. Give me 5 or 10 minutes, and I'll call you shortly after that.
Look at that. Protocol's in place. Yeah. He's got this ship business figured out. I had to make sure that I enunciated the word ship with a P, because, you know, I would not want it to sound like any other word that starts with an S, an H, and an I. I want to go back to Andy's wanting to lighten the mood. I want to get back to this headband. Where were you going with it, Andy?
Well, we've talked some pretty heavy topics the last couple weeks, if we're being honest, and we're pretty far into this lockdown, so I just wondered where you guys are at hairstyle wise. Brett's rocking the headband. We may or may not throw up a picture when this episode airs, but I mean, I've said before, one of the things I actually really I don't know if care about is too strong, but I like my hair to look good. And right now, my hair is probably close to Brett's. I can't and I'm being honest, I don't know the last time I left the house and didn't cover my head with a hat. So, but again, if the worst thing that comes out of lockdown is I can't get a haircut, I think I'm doing pretty good. But I don't, I wear it. Chad, and I'm speaking for both of you, so feel free to cut me off. but Chad's had the same haircut for probably close to 10 years.
Yeah, longer than that, but probably pushing 15 now, I would think, certainly. Yeah. I was lucky enough, I guess, to have just gone for a haircut prior to the last lockdown. So like mid-November, I think I got a haircut. Anyways, it's pretty intense these days. I almost have enough to, and Andy, you'd appreciate this, and Bretzky as well. I almost have enough to bring back the Zach Morris side part that I used to rock back in the early 90s. I've almost got enough now to pull that off. So maybe tomorrow morning for my virtual students, I'll style my hair in the side part with the wave a la Zach Morris and give them something to watch. Give him something to laugh at me on camera tomorrow.
Gonna throw on the tearaway pants as well.
Maybe, just maybe, Channel 1998 again. And I know that was a reference to a photo I put up on my Instagram not too long ago from a photo that one of my colleagues at BR dug out of our alumni room. He's a BR alumni as well, and he's two or three years older than me. So he found this photo of me in grade 10, and he was like, can I like post this around the school? I was like, go for it, man. I got no shame. And then when I put it up on my Insta, that was one of the first comments from people our age was like, oh my God, are those tearaway pants? And I was like, you know they are. And then I thought about it. I think it was it you, Andy, or probably Brett? One of you guys pointed out like the impracticality of tearaway pants as a wheelchair user. And I was
that was definitely me. Tearaway pant. I don't think I ever even owned a pair, but anyways, we went from very heavy topics the last couple of weeks to talking about haircuts and tearaway pants.
So, absolutely, absolutely. Wow. This is what hey, listen. A wise man named Michael Moore once told me, not the film director, but somebody that you know very well, Andy, once told me that if you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. So maybe that's what's happening tonight.
I think he probably ripped that off from somebody else.
Hey, listen, if we can talk about haircuts for a minute. I'm starting to get really uncomfortable with this whole Brett's really silent for longer than 3 or 4 minutes.
So you got to chime in. Oh, I mean, we did the first 12 minutes without you. So, you know, we just thought we were running the show tonight. But by all intents and purposes, take it away, Brett Thomas Wills.
Yeah, so I'm not going to get a haircut before we're out of lockdown. We're going to be in lockdown in at least Peel for another 2 weeks. That's fine. I suspect we probably won't be out of lockdown until the springtime. I'm not getting a haircut. I'm going to graciously rock a man bun.
Yeah, boy, just let her flow.
Well, okay, so, but here, if we're in lockdown, where would you get a haircut?
Yeah, I was just going to say, no wonder you're not getting a haircut. There's nowhere to go to get a haircut.
Well, here's the thing, fellas. I do have a haircutting kit available to me.
Uh-huh.
The problem is that I only trust one person to cut my hair.
Yeah, you don't trust Alex to do it?
That's not my barber.
Oh.
And I was just going to say, she doesn't want to do it, so.
All right. Oh man. Yeah, there will not be any haircuts happening for me either. I don't know. We've got, unless I shave my own head or I let my kids shave my head, which I might do. I got a set of clippers here, and I could get so desperate that I could shave my own head. But I don't think I really want to do that just yet. What about you, Andy? Well, and I know that you do take care of your hair, and shout out to a friend of the show, Dave Shara, for doing such a good job of cleaning up Andrew Paul Moore. But like, what happens now? Like, you just wear a hat for like till like until your next available haircut. Like, are you walking around in the house with a hat on? You know, like, what's that looking like for you?
Yeah, backwards hat. I rock the backwards hat pretty much wherever I go. It's getting a little colder now, so I might transition to a toque.
Yeah.
For our American listeners, that's a wool cap. But when lockdown first happened, coming up on a year ago now, I went the home haircut route, and it turns out the shortest level is very short, and I don't want to do that again. So
yeah, fair enough. I feel like Maya would have a lot of fun cutting your hair.
She may or may not have taken a few swipes the first time.
I think that our listeners would like to see that be replicated again.
Having her 3-year-old cut his hair?
Absolutely.
Almost 4, before in April, but yeah. There's not much I wouldn't do for either of them, but, and I mean, hair grows back, so whatever, but the one thing I'm pretty particular about is my hair. So, but again, we're probably not going anywhere for a little while still. So,
yeah. So we are in different regions. If you are outside of our region, you've been listening for a while, you know that Brett is in Mississauga, which is Peel. Andy and I are in Hamilton. And so different health restrictions, different public health units, but Hamilton tends to be about a week or two behind whatever Peel's doing. And so, you know, as of right now, our lockdown is, I got February 10th in my head. I don't even know the actual date. I've got February 10th in my head because that's been the date that they have given to our students. I'm with you, Brett. I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's going to get pushed back again. As an educator, I've got it in my head that this is going to take us at least to the other side of March break. I would be, at this You're point, I'd, I am being generous. Generous. Yeah, being, yeah. Yeah, I'm an optimist. I am a music teacher, so of course I want in-person learning more than probably most. As much as this online learning endeavor has been so challenging, and parents and students have been amazing, and everyone is doing such a great job of navigating this situation that nobody asked for. As an arts teacher, I'm just dying to get back into the classroom where I can get instruments into my students' hands. Even if they have to be modified, we were documenting beforehand that I teach band. So I teach woodwind and brass and all this stuff that we haven't been able to play all year because it involves, you know, using your breath. And so I had changed my class to be a bass guitar class and wood and like mallet percussion and things that you hit to make sound. So no blowing into instruments. And so it was already different. And now, of course, we're not even doing that. So I'm trying to engage my students to the best of my ability in a music class where we have no instruments. And so there's been a lot of challenges, but the kids have been fantastic. Needless to say, certainly not what anybody has enjoyed doing. And shout out to so many parents that are holding it down with their kids having to homeschool in this crazy environment of essentially having to be online with their classroom teachers for, you know, 7 hours a day or so, like the length of a regular school day. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, when you look at it, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer or the bearer of bad news, we're looking at lockdown that could easily stretch into May 2-4 weekend.
Oh man!
I know we're just at the end of January right now, and it's tough for me to even say that, but I mean. You know, like
just in time for you to get back to that cottage that you've talked about so much on the podcast.
Well, I mean, again, like I'm dealing with this health issue that I'm not sure will be healing by May 2-4 weekend. Knock on wood that it might, but I'm trying to be realistic. I'm recognizing that And I don't. I was about to say the SHIT word.
Since when has that stopped you?
I don't want to make a regular habit of dumping on our elected officials, because I don't know what it's like to be an elected official. But they've all dropped the ball, provincially, federally. We're dealing with a giant mess here, trying to get vaccines in arms, trying to keep our most vulnerable healthy. It's just been a cluster, blankety blank. The one thing that I have remained for the last 12 months is hopeful.
Mm.
And I think I just took a word from our premier, Rob Ford, and now I'm going to be sick to my stomach.
Doug Ford.
I've said it before, and I don't want to kind of hammer this, and maybe we'll get into this a little bit, because coming up on a year, I mean, the three of us have physical disabilities, but you're starting to see now the mental the effect it's having on people's mental health now, right? Chad, you dance around this. You probably don't use that verbiage, but I mean, getting to see your students and your coworkers in person is a big part of what you do. You're a people person, regardless if you're at work or if you're playing a gig, right? So I can't imagine how do I say this right? You said it's starting to wear on you, right? So
yeah.
I think people that already have mental health issues probably aren't doing very well.
And those that didn't do now?
Well, I don't want to say that far, because it sounds like I'm making light of it. I'm really not.
No, but you know. And I didn't mean to sort of put words in your mouth. I am 100% okay telling you and the entire internet that I have been drawn more closely to the state of my own mental health in, you know, the last few months more than anything else. And you're absolutely right, Andy. I am a deeply extroverted person. I am a social cat through and through, and that is a huge part of the reason why I love my job and the social aspect, right? I am the kind of person, and Andy and Brett probably know this more than most, I like to be loved by everyone. I you know, to a fault. I'm a yes man. I will, you know, I try to be everything to everyone. And that has, you know, that's probably in recent times, it's done kind of more harm than good, as I've realized, you know, that's unrealistic and you can't keep that up. But I miss being in person with my students. This online learning thing is, you know, it is what it is. We're stuck in it. And do I believe that the kids in Ontario, the students in Ontario, are getting a better quality education this time around than they were last March? Absolutely. Right. My students are learning things. They are benefiting, I think, from countless other teachers that are doing an amazing job of being a virtual teacher in an environment that they never signed up for either. I will continually be a champion for the kids and for the parents. I received an email this week, boys, and we weren't going to talk. I had no idea we were going to talk about this. But I received an email from a parent of two students who I haven't met. I haven't met them face to face. They don't have a camera on their laptop, so I don't even know what these boys look like. They are fraternal twins, and they've been in my class since Christmas break, and we're doing this 23-day model. So I'm about to lose them here next week, and then we switch. And I don't even know who these kids. I know who they are. I've gotten to know them the best that I can in spending my hours between 8 o'clock and 2:20 with them every day. You know, normal bell schedule. But I received an email from their mom, which was one of the most complimentary emails I've ever received in my life. And man, oh man, did I need it at that moment in time. And I won't get too heavy here as to why, but this email basically said, you know, whatever you're doing is working because my kids are talking about school for the first time ever. When I ask them, I don't have to ask them about school. They're talking about your class. They're talking about things that they learned or things that they did. And she said, whatever you're doing is working, so don't stop, which number one was amazing because I've had essentially been making up a new way to teach my class because so much of it is different when the instruments are stripped away. The second thing that she said, which was like, made me, you know, get real fired up. She said, you know, I've got a brother who's an associate dean of music at Western University, and I've tried to instill a passion for music into my boys for years and I've never been successful. And this is the first time that they're passionate about music. So whatever you're doing, thank you. And, you know, it hit me in all the teacher feels, right? Because I was like, holy cow, here I am thinking I could be doing so much more. What more can I do? How can I make this as fun as possible? Because let's be honest, kids don't take a music class, you know, they take it as the fun class. Music is the fun class. It's not math. It's not science. A lot of kids take it as their elective. A lot of kids take it and probably never want to take it again. They take it as their arts credit because they don't want to draw, they don't want to dance, and they don't want to act in drama. And so they take a music class. And then, you know, some kids find out, oh, I got to play a band instrument in this class. I didn't, you know, didn't sign up for that. So man, there's been so many moments, in the last few months where you kind of question, am I doing an okay job? Is this going okay? And that was a moment last week that I wasn't expecting. This mother responded to an email. I had sent out the midterm reports for her boys to her email address, and it's common knowledge how to get a hold of all of us. We all make ourselves available by email. It's posted on our virtual classroom. The kids can email me all the time because I'm a high school teacher, so no problem. Send me an email and I'll get back to you right away. I tell them my email's pushed to my phone. You know, it's never too late. I'm that guy that takes their work home with them quite literally. So if you're doing homework at 10 o'clock at night and my phone buzzes and it's an email from you, I'm going to answer it, to a fault, right? Like I can't shut that part of my brain off, but this was an email that, caught me off guard and, really kept things in perspective in terms of what people are going through. And in terms of, you know, my value, even when you don't think that you're making any difference. And as I said, and I won't get into this part on a personal level, holy cow, did I need that at that moment in time. So that was pretty special.
Well, here's the thing, man. Like we bust each other's balls, Chad and I guess Andy and I bust each other's balls a little bit more, than we bust your balls. Although Andy busts your balls pretty hard. But you're a good dude, and we know that you're a good instructor or a good teacher or whatever you do. We know how passionate you are about what you do and how much you actually love your kids. There's a lot of, at least in my experience, and I mean, I've been out of high school since, I guess 2002, so almost 20 years. But there's a lot of teachers that I encountered that just weren't into teaching for their students. They were in it for a different agenda. You're not like that. You've never been like that. And I don't think you're ever going to be like that.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks. I'm so glad that comes across, even, you know, for those that, that sort of know basically what I do, but have never, you know, seen me do it. I've set myself up a little, home office, in the basement here. And, my mom, who obviously knows me extremely well, 'cause she's my mom. I was talking to her the other day and she's like, I overheard you, teaching a lesson from the basement of your home office. And she's like, I was overwhelmed at hearing you do what you do, because I've never, you know, I thought, okay, well, obviously mom, you've never, you know, seen me teach a class, but, you know, I think it, if anything, I just hope it comes through, how much I care and, you know, that it isn't just a job for me. This is something I'm passionate about and I've wanted to do from the time I was 16 years old. And I'm so glad that that comes across, especially in an environment, where I've never met this mom. I've never met these boys. I told my kids, today, I said, when this is all done, whenever that is, whenever that we get ourselves back to Bishop Ryan High School, and these are only grade nines, so they barely even know what our building looks like, and they don't even know what our building has to offer them because they're brand new to our school community. Imagine, you know, you transition to a brand new school in grade nine, which is hard enough, and now you have something like this. I said to them, you know, find the music room. If you don't know where it is, ask somebody. Come and find me in the music room and introduce yourself and say hello. You know, because there are so many kids, a few of them have been on camera. I've given them a chance to, you know, we'll do icebreaker activities, little good morning things, presentations and things. But there's still a few kids that don't have webcam capabilities, no video capabilities. And so I don't know what they look like other than hearing their voice, you know, from time to time in a discussion. And so I told them, because I'm so extroverted, I'm like, you guys got to come find me and say hello and introduce yourself. And again, please, you know, and I've talked about this before. I had the luxury of teaching a class and a program where if you take an instrumental music class at my high school, you're probably going to have me as your teacher. And not a lot of teachers can say that. So I can say, hey, take my class. This is the course code for next year. And so I've told them all, you know, if you like me now and you want to see what really happens in my classroom, then, you know, whenever we get back to normal, shout out to Brett, because I heard this. I read this on Twitter today. It was something that I read about COVID. It said, when COVID goes away, and this was in air quotes, when COVID goes away is starting to sound like when the Toronto Maple Leafs win the Stanley Cup.
Totally offside.
Fair enough. Anyways, I said to them, you know, when we get back to somewhat normal, make sure you come and see me, because, you know, what started me on this tangent was Andy talking about how I'm a deeply social cat. And this has been weighing on me very, very heavily.
Hey, I'm just wondering, can I enroll online to Bishop Ryan and just sit through a semester of your class?
I'm pretty sure you've already got your high school credits. I don't know. You just want to audit. You want to audit a class. I think you have to be in, that has to be a college and university thing. So maybe I should check in with you about how your college journey is going. But I stole all the thunder away from Andy there. So I got to make sure he's still alive.
Yeah. I'm just going to say, I think the flip side of that for me, and this is the part I've talked about before. I've gotten a chance to really, rework kind of everything I do, work out here, work here. And that's given me the opportunity to watch my kids grow up. And, if we were living in a non-COVID world still, I wouldn't have that opportunity. So selfishly, I think for me, I've gotten to spend a lot more time with my girls, and it's been really good for me. I think we realized that we have to register Maya for kindergarten soon, and who knows what that's going to look like, but that's another hurdle that I'm going to have to get over at some point here, I guess, in September.
One would hope that by September.
Well, she's going to register regardless.
Just in terms of what it'll look like. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And, I think, we talked about before kind of my apprehensions of being a dad, and we've walked that journey. But I think the last, what is it, 9 months coming up on a year, have just been invaluable. So, for example, it snowed today. Maya's like, stop working, come outside. Like, I'll teach you how to do snow angels, right? Like, because I made the mistake of telling her I've never done the snow angel, and she was baffled by that, but she's committed now.
Is the reason that you've never done a snow angel is because you're not actually an angel?
No, it's because I face planted enough in the snow. I don't need to be rolling around in it for fun. I can't believe I'd ever say this, but I love watching them grow up. And even though it's a limited environment right now, it's so fun to me. Fun's kind of a very broad strokes term, but it's tough for me to say I wouldn't change it, because obviously the world would look very different without COVID.
I think as I sit here listening to you, and I'm an emotional guy. My last little teaching rant almost put me in a spot, and listening to you tell your perspective tonight is putting me in a spot too, man. But like you said, perspective is everything, and you're getting an opportunity to make some real moments right now. And the fact that you don't take that for granted, and that you have seen that for what it is an amazing blessing. First of all, you are a guy that always sees the blessings, and so I'm not surprised to hear that from you, and I love you for that. And but man, to be able to make these moments and these memories, and as you just said, these opportunities that you wouldn't have, you know, if more people had that perspective, you know, look for the opportunities to get closer with your parents, your family, your kids, whoever is in your bubble right now, man. And of course, this is, you know, this is not easy, having to see the same faces all the time, but, you know, find that time to, you know, play that board game with the family, or make those moments, right? Those things that we take for granted, because as you said, man, we get so busy, right? And your life with your fitness and your work and always, you know, keeping you away from home, yeah, you end up missing those moments. And so something like this, as long as you have the right perspective about it, and again, I'm not trying to downplay what anyone is going through, because man, we are all suffering, and so many people are suffering way worse than we even know. So if you're listening and you're going through something, just know that you're not alone, and there's always somebody that you can talk to and can relate. But man, as I sit and listen to you talk about being a dad, it just gets me fired up, and because I know the quality of man that you are, Andrew Paul, and to make those memories with your kids is pretty special. Plus, I want to see you roll around in the snow. Actually, I just want to see you faceplant in the snow. Actually, scratch that for the second time, and the third time's the charm here. I have seen you faceplant in the snow, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, well, again, I've never done a snow angel, but I think probably if I faceplant, I'm doing it wrong. But
you are not the most sure-footed cat in the world, Andy.
There's so many other little things that you're like, oh, she would be getting this at daycare or in 9 months at school, which is so crazy to say. But like just today, for example, she we're sitting at the breakfast table, and she's like, so did Papa Mike build this house for us before we lived here?
That's cute.
And I was just like, no. And so I kind of basically explained, like, very few people build the houses that they're living in the first time, right? Like,
yeah,
we played Candyland. Candyland is her favorite game. And just watching her try to manipulate the spins. If you don't know, Candyland is the most basic of board games like ever made. But she knows that if she lands on the ice cream, that's the way to get the furthest ahead in the game, right? So she's trying to manipulate the spins so that it lands on the ice cream so that she can win faster. It, like that's the way I play anything. I try to win, right? So, and we've that's the first board game we've ever played. But just watching her process that, to be like, if I do this, then I'm going to win.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
She's taking advantage. So, she knows how to do it. So now I got to, because I've probably seen your competitiveness, and maybe I was going to say, well, you and I have had moments, and we've documented before that, you know, at one point you and Brett Thomas were, dare I say, mortal enemies. So what does that look like? You know, does your competitiveness have to take over? Like, do you, you know, must you beat the almost 4-year-old at Candyland, or do you just let her manipulate the spin and have the win?
I, well, This is where Amanda and I parent differently.
Fair enough.
she'll be like, no, you got to do it right. You got to, like, that wasn't where it landed. And I'm like, no, like, she bend the rules. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't
out cheap, honey, but, like, honey, she's being resourceful.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. All right, Bretzky, it's been a minute since we've heard from you. Let's first of all check in and make sure you're alive. You haven't fallen asleep, because I know you're literally laying in your bed right now, so you haven't fallen asleep on us, have you?
I think for the first time in the history of the no abilities.
The no abilities? Yeah, that's us. We have no abilities. Team excuses, no abilities. Let's put that on a t-shirt.
I mean, Andrew Paul Moore does not have any abilities, apparently.
I was going to say, I think for the first time in the history of this show, Brett used that hand-raising feature. He's like, guys, I'm still here.
Yeah, guys,
like,
I'm still – hey, guys. So, yeah. So I see the virtual hand is up, which is something as a teacher I should be very, very used to by now. So I'm sorry, Bretzky, for not giving you a chance to speak. But let's check in with you, because I know you know, that bed's getting pretty cozy. How the hell are you doing, Brett Wills?
You know, I'm not doing too bad. I'm listening to the two of you, and I'm kind of just reflecting on the last 12 months. Because I guess earlier this week, or even yesterday, or even today, I don't know, was the first recorded case of COVID in this country 12 months ago. Approximately.
Yeah.
I'm listening to the two of you talk about parenthood, and we've gone over this countless times, how don't want to be a parent, don't have any inkling of the idea of being a parent, but it sounds pretty special being a dad. And I mean, I'm envious of both of you for different reasons in terms of that. And Andy is a girl dad. Like, that's an awesome, awesome experience. And Chad, you've got three really, really cool kids. I haven't spent a lot of time with them. I was privy to spend time with your oldest one afternoon last year.
At a football game.
At a football game.
A CFL football game, because we know that will fire up Andy.
In the greatest league in the world. I continue to be thankful for the two of you. I'm envious that your parents, that your dads. And the reason I say that, and I can say that confidently now, this far into a pandemic, and I can't believe a pandemic has made me appreciate it, is that I really miss hanging out with my niece and nephew, Thomas and Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas, I believe, is 8, and Charlie is 5. And I've seen them, not recently, I probably haven't seen them in a month. At least in person in a month.
Yeah.
You really, I get a chance to talk to them, either on the phone or through video chat 2 or 3 times a week. And just the scope of how much they've grown, how much they've matured, even in their young little age, like, a year ago, I couldn't sit and have a chat with my niece.
Mm-hmm.
Her vocabulary, I thought, was just absolutely terrible.
Just because talk to this kid, she can't even say words.
Yeah, well, it wasn't developed yet, and now it's like leaps and bounds better, and I'm just like, yeah, I want to sit and talk to this kid. I want to find out what's going on at school, even though that's virtual school. What's been going on at home, because they live on quite a bit of acreage. They live on a farm. what are mommy and daddy up to? What's your perspective of your big brother? And then with Thomas, the same thing, just in reverse. What's the perspective of your little sister? It's really cool trying to figure out the perspectives of kids, especially. So I think especially in a time like this. Because you know what, fellas, and I have absolutely no shame in saying this. Adults are assholes. And I, you know what, Andy, if you have to bleep that word out, that's fine. But adults are assholes. They understanding that we've got a lot more to worry about in the scope of what COVID is causing. But children really put into perspective what's going on. Why are you so sad, Uncle B? What's going on with you? How you feeling? Like, they don't necessarily understand the full scope of what I'm dealing with it, with my health issues, but they know that I was in the hospital. They know that I'm dealing with something that's pretty heavy, but they call with the help of their parents to find out how I'm doing. Like, there's a lot of adults in my life that I haven't heard from, that I have to reach out to even in my medical state. And then they ask me how I'm doing. Like,
well, I'm honored that we are not two of the adults that you speak of, because I know we've done a decent job of checking up on you. And again, I would say thank you for your transparency, but I know that's a moot point on this podcast, because you are the epitome of transparency and have been since day one, when you came in for you know, basically an interview. You came in to be a guest, and then we were like, okay, we got to turn this this duet into a tripod, because we can't say Cripple Threat.
Well, I mean, we can say Cripple Threat, but the boss doesn't like it.
The boss, I love it.
What
are you,
the boss?
I was gonna say, what are you saying, boss?
Full disclosure, I don't usually use that term. That's for you two, but no shame. Amanda does the majority of the grocery shopping, and it's not because I am incapable. She's just very meticulous about what she wants. She knows. She has a game plan going in, and if the few times that I have to do it, like, I'm texting her or calling her every 30 seconds to be like, is this the right stuff? Or I'll just get it, take it home, and hear about getting the wrong stuff.
I was just about the only joke I could think to make in that moment was, you know, honey, mayonnaise or Miracle Whip? And then I remembered that, like, she does need eggs. So that question doesn't need to be asked.
Yeah, no. So anyways, it's not a masculine thing. If I was as efficient as she is at grocery shopping, we would probably both do it. But anyways, so Maya does it with her. From time to time, it'll be like an outing for them. But point being, one time they came back, and Maya gets out of the car. She's stomping around, and I was just like, "What's up?" She's like, the lady at the store wouldn't talk to me. I was like, "Well, what do you mean?" And she's like, "We got all our stuff. We were paying for everything, like checking out." And Maya's trying to talk to her, tell her what they bought and all that stuff. And the cashier was just ignoring her. So she was pretty upset about it. But
she did not. The cashier just did not want to have an intellectual conversation with a 3-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I concur, Brett. Adults are assholes. Now, it could have been she just didn't hear her. It could have been she was stressed out because COVID at a grocery store has to be tons of fun, but I don't know. That's something that I never really understood. How do you not take, I was going to say 30 seconds, but that's actually a long time. How do you not take 5 seconds to acknowledge a child talking to you? Like, I just, I don't get it. But
and to that point, clearly the 3-year-old notices, right? Like, I mean,
yeah,
that was probably a big issue for Maya for a long time after the fact that the lady at the grocery store wouldn't even like say a single word to her, right? So yeah, that's what a kid hangs on to, right?
Yeah. So no, and to go back to what we were talking about, like, I'm truly astonished by some of the things that both of them pick up. And Maisie's getting older now too, obviously, and I don't know how else to say it other than it's astonishing to me. Like, Maisie's still nonverbal. She says hey and a word here and there, but she gets everything. She's able to comprehend, and I don't know. I think I've probably said before, if I had any anxiety when Maya was younger, like, all that is nothing compared to what Maisie's doing. Like, she is she's gonna be an acrobat by the time she's like 9 years old.
Yeah.
Just to see how my heart holds up, I think.
Yeah, so. I've said it before, I think, on the air. I know I've talked to you about it, Andy, on a personal level. Like, I think God gives you the first one, and you're like, yeah, no, I could do this again. And then God's like, hey, watch this, you know. So, you're living it now. And, you know, Brett, you spoke to the fact that Andy is prototypical, stereotypical, some kind of typical. He's girl dad, you know. And I've got a precious daughter of my own who is 10 years old, and that blows my mind. It's a privilege and an honor. And again, sometimes we don't plan these conversations, but we end up talking about things that I hope will resonate with people wherever they're listening. And so man, it's a blessing. And thinking of your munchkins, Brett, who are not your munchkins, but your brother Tanner's, and you know, it must be obviously hard to not be able to see them in person, and to be able to, you know, have those FaceTime conversations. And you hit the nail on the head, man. Kids are not stupid. You know, that's a theme for tonight. Grownups are assholes, and kids are not stupid. Kids will pick up on, you know, whatever's going down. And so even though your niece and nephew aren't necessarily aware of medical circumstances, they know when something's up, and they'll hold you accountable to it. Like, they'll hold you to it in the best way, in the most innocent way possible, because, you know, they know when something's going on. And you know, out of the mouth of babes, right, is the old expression.
They honestly, the two of them have a better grasp of how serious COVID is than some of the adults that I see on social media.
As adults, we in general form our own opinions, right? Kids get told stuff and they're like, well, that's the way it is. And there's no,
you know what they say about opinions.
Yes, I do. We've used that word copious amounts of times tonight.
Yeah. Yes, we have.
Yeah, so listen, it's 10 o'clock and I know you want to get out of here. So we've talked about our kids a lot today, but Maya this week said she wants her next birthday to be her 14th birthday.
Wow.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, man.
Not good luck to Maya. Good luck to you with that. Because
I feel like an age.
If she already wants to be 14, you're in a hell of a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, so I said, like, you think people, her term is people are sick. And I was like, so you think people are going to be sick till you're 14? And she's like, no, I just want to be 14 on my next birthday. So I was like, oh, cool.
Here's a mind trip for you, Andrew Paul. My son will be 14 on his next birthday. That's insane.
Yeah.
The beauty part is he's more mature than most of the people we know.
My son is more mature my son is more mature than I am. I don't question that for a second. He is much wiser than his old man.
You talked about the football game that you two went to. We went to a wrestling gig, one of Dave's wrestling gigs, and it was Caleb's first wrestling gig, and I was just being myself, making comments, and there was a few times where he looked at Chad and just kind of rolled his eyes, like, "Is this guy? Is this guy for real?"
Yeah, but, that was a great night at an great afternoon, I guess, at an HWE event. I think we documented that a little bit for the Ability Media page. But yeah, Caleb had a blast, and I had a blast as a dad. I love pro wrestling. I always have, and it's not ever something that I have pushed on the kids or whatever. But so to bring Caleb to a live wrestling event at HWE was really awesome. We obviously, sitting front row that night and cheering on our boy, Dave Shara, AKA, Raunchy Ronnie Randallson, his partner, AC Coca, as they had a tag match that night. So cool to be able to do and to bring Caleb with us. And he was getting into it, man. He was chanting with us and selfieing with guys that had fallen at his feet. He was taking my phone out of my head and taking a selfie with the guy that was laying at his toes. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Anything else before we call it a night?
I think Bretzky probably wants to get to bed. We will we'll check in with you, man, about all things health and certainly all things school. Have you been able to manage your you've returned to school? Have you been able to manage that with all of your ongoing health struggles, or what's that looking like for you?
So I submitted an assignment. I submitted it to the wrong instructor. Did not hear back about my mark, for said assignment, whatever, that's fine. I'll touch base with her. I've literally touched base with a classmate of mine, a current classmate of mine, and I've touched base with Andy Moore about what he thinks, I should be doing, because obviously he took the class. I don't want him to give me all the answers, but a little bit of guidance here and there would be appreciated, and he's been helpful. So
there you go. Well, one thing we could promise to provide, maybe is, I don't know about guidance, but certainly friendship. And, that's kind of been a bit of the theme for tonight. It's been a good night as we kind of unpacked what COVID is looking like and doing in our own lives and the impact that it's had on us, a year into this game now. And it's no game, but it is what it is. And so it's been a good night, boys. Bretzky, it started off kind of funny with you getting that phone call, but man, it was really good to do this with you. If anything, it gave us something to do on an evening where we're all locked in our houses anyways. All right, Internet. Listen, if you're interested in what we do, you can go back and check out any old episode you'd like on any major podcasting platform, because we're on all of them. Just search Team Ability No Excuses Podcast. Gentlemen, it's been a blast. Internet, good night and God bless. Cheers.